Let's go to our Lord in prayer.
Heavenly Father, sometimes we don't want to exactly mold our will to fit yours. Mary certainly had her challenges, being the mother of Jesus, so many unexpected twists and turns. Lord, help us as we seek to conform our will to the will you have for us. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we've been doing during these midweek Lent services, we're hearing from a number of biblical characters who God worked his will in through some rather unusual ways, how that affected their walk with the Lord, and what difference it makes for us as God's people today. So far, we have heard from Isaac, from Moses, and the prophet Nathan. But this evening, a little different angle, we're going to hear from a woman who placed her identity and hope for the future completely in the Lord's hands, especially when it made no sense to her. Her name was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Amen. You know, it feels like I've been praying that prayer for most of my life now. You'd think it would get easier, wouldn't it? And I know you've heard the story before, and believe you me, I swear it was an angel. He even had a name. Gabriel. Gabriel said the power of the Most High, the Spirit of God, would come upon me. Poor Joseph. I mean, we could laugh about his message years later, but at the time, my dear husband, I thought it was the hardest thing I would ever have to do, to face family and friends who would not understand an unmarried young woman pregnant. But it was such an honor to be chosen, to be an instrument, to be the mother of God's own son. And so I answered, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. And over the years, that became my prayer. And I just hung on it. I grew into understanding a little bit more each day. Oh, and you've heard about Simeon, the prophet at the temple, right? He confirmed the promises made by the angel Gabriel. But he also looked me straight in the eye as he held my darling boy in his arms. And he said, a sword will pierce your own heart too. Now, he spoke hope, promise, and peace, but it was going to come through a lot of suffering. And when our family had to run and hide out in Egypt to get away from King Herod, and then we were told to go back home just as Joseph was starting to build his business down there, when my son, the carpenter, went out into the wilderness for 40 days and came back completely changed, guess what prayer I had to pray over and over again? Lord, let it be to me according to your word. You made a promise, Lord. I don't understand what's going on, but you're in control. I am the servant of the Lord. My life is yours. Let it be to me according to your word. And I also remember when Joseph and I lost him in the crowd. We had gone to Jerusalem for the big festival. Same trip every year. Friends and family were around. The kids would play. They'd chase each other all over the place. No need to worry. That is, until we couldn't remember the last time that we saw him. Joseph thought I had him. I thought Joseph had him. We both lost him. We lost my boy. So we ran and ran back. We were a day out from Jerusalem when we figured it out. We were in fear. We retraced our steps, but he wasn't at any of the usual places. So we checked the place that Jesus was not allowed to go. The pool of Bethesda, where the sick and the diseased were at. the Antonia Fortress, where the Roman soldiers would stay. Now, of course, he should have known better than to hang out there. I mean, it's dangerous to touch a leper or to get on the wrong side of a Roman soldier. But we had to look, and we couldn't find him anywhere. We even searched among all the graves. We had no place left to look, so we went to the temple to pray. We asked God to lead us, to give us another Simeon, another Gabriel, somebody who could show us the way. And those old familiar words were on my lips once again. But it was harder than ever to pray because of my will. I wanted my son back, safe and sound. But still I prayed, Lord, may it be to me according to your word. Oh, we ended up finding him there at the temple, not far from where Simeon had stood years before. We saw him there teaching, asking questions, and leaving people amazed, just like always. He even wondered why Joseph and I were scared. Well, didn't you know, he said. Yes, I should have known. But I didn't understand what happened at Cana either. But it didn't matter. The servants did as he asked. He filled the jars full of water, and then the wine started flowing. Didn't get any easier after that. And what's amazing is it got more difficult to understand. There was one time early on where I went to put my foot down. He'd been saying some really unbelievable things. Rumors of miracles had gotten the entire neighborhood in an uproar. So Joseph and I went to bring Jesus home and talk some sense into him. I knew he was supposed to do something special, but surely it couldn't look like this. Do you know what he said? We stood outside a house packed with people who were using the word Messiah. And he just sat there teaching. By the way, Messiah is a dangerous word. It can get you in a lot of trouble back in my day. My boy had some important things he needed to do for God. So I passed word through all the throng. I couldn't get my way inside. After a couple minutes, we sensed a shockwave coming from inside out. We were told that Jesus claimed a different family. He said that anyone who hears the word of God and then lives it, well, they were his mother and father and brothers. I tell you, I never, after all I had given up for him, after all we had suffered so he could have a life and a future, I was spitting mad all the way home. But then, I went to pray again like I always did. And I had to say it again. Let it be to me according to your word. So, if belonging to his family means hearing God's word and living it out, well, haven't I been trying to do that all along? Why would I stop now? I thought a sword had pierced my own soul that day, too. I had to let go of my claim on his future so that he could do what the angel Gabriel had promised. He's such a good boy. My son, such a good man. He is doing exactly what God the Father sent him to do. But now, he may be killed. How can he fulfill his mission now? He's been drug away, arrested. How can he be God's anointed if he's in jail? How can God's special son be on trial for heresy? It makes no sense. And what if they convict him? They won't stone him, will they? What if they stone him? What possible sense would all the promises make if that happens? If it all ends here. Why would God go through the trouble of rescuing him again and again just to have him die now? What kind of a crazy plan is that? I'm sorry. I told you it gets harder to pray, not easier. After all these years, it almost feels like I understand my son's mission maybe a little less than I did when Gabriel first showed up. I could wish for a clear messenger to come again. I could wish Joseph were here. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be unto me according to your word. I cannot imagine what it would have been like to be Mary, to have the honor of being the mother of Jesus. But I also can't imagine what she went through watching her son grow up. There was one thing that remained constant for Mary through all of this. She was the Lord's servant. Everything was in God's hands. And it's the same for you and for me. There are times when we don't know what to pray, or we even feel like we don't have the energy left to pray. And that's when God reminds us that he is waiting with arms stretched out, wide open, ready for us to come to him. We are servants of the Lord, whom he blesses dearly. Even when life doesn't make sense to us, the Lord is still active and moving in our lives. May we always remember that as servants of the Lord, our God is with us, not just today, but all the way into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of our Lord Jesus. Amen.